Welcome to the Sunshine Economy, the art of business at Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening this week. If you walk through the right breezeway on Worth Avenue in Palm Beach and into a small courtyard, you'll see on your right a spiral concrete staircase. It's painted pink. You can't miss it. It leads up to a single doorway. Inside is about 2,000 square feet split into four rooms. In the back, a small rectangular space is just wide enough to fit a desk and chair. It has windows overlooking the parking lot. Inside a larger square space sits two desks face-to-face with wall-to-wall bookcases under the windows. But when you walk through the front door, the first two rooms are the largest, separated by a common wall. And this is where we found Jeremy Lyon in early November, hauling in new works for an art exhibit. Lyon is the director of Gavlak Palm Beach, and the art gallery was preparing for its seasonal opening as it gears up for Art Basel Miami Beach. The gallery was one of 269 galleries chosen to bring their business to Basel last week, just one of three with outposts located here in South Florida. Now, on our program today, we'll talk with two of those local gallery owners as they're prepared for what they hope to be a brisk business at this year's Basel. We'll also find out how much business they did. It was the 15th year for Art Basel Miami Beach. This year, it was held during renovation of its longtime home, the Miami Beach Convention Center. After a decade and a half in South Florida, the influence and economic impact of this contemporary art fair continues growing. 77,000 people attend in Basel itself this year, about the same as last year. There were the millions of dollars of art to be bought and sold, and the dozens of satellite art fairs throughout the region, adding up to an estimated economic impact in the hundreds of millions of dollars. But Basel has come to be seen as an inflection point for South Florida's multi-billion dollar arts and culture economy, and what has become a focus on creative industries, arts, media, design. There's the business of the arts before Basel, and then the business of the arts in South Florida after Basel. Same for Sarah Gavlak and her namesake art gallery. She opened her first space in West Palm Beach in 2005. A year later, she was chosen to bring her work to Basel's shipping containers on the beach. It wasn't the main fair at the convention center like where she was this past week, but it was the beginning of what has been a decade of doing business at Basel. Gavlak went to college in Pittsburgh, received her graduate degree in Southern California, and she says just kind of fell into being an art gallery owner. We first spoke in early November as she was preparing for Basel about how she started her art business.
Well, it was sort of by accident, really. I always think of myself as sort of an art history geek, nerd. I go to a lot of museums, mostly to look at old masters and modern pictures. And I sort of thought I'd be more of a writer or curator, and but I had worked for galleries here and there. You know, it's funny, I think the way I started my gallery is certainly, I think personally, was attributed to being just young, and some would say brave, some would say completely bonkers, out of their mind, but also I think the conditions of the art market 10 years ago, it's very different now. And I opened it because I love art. I love working with artists. And I had no money, you know, no trust fund, no rich husband, no nothing. And I sold a few works of an artist to a collector and used that money as my seed money. And but literally had no plan and no, like, how long-term, no finance, no backing. I had no, you know, it just was, but then, you know, really great collectors recognized that I was bringing really amazing emerging art here, and they immediately stepped up and were supportive and bought work, and it just started that way. I don't think that that's possible anymore, unfortunately. You know, these young galleries that just started because they love artists and believe in art aren't able to make a go of it in this climate. It's so much more about business and money than it's ever been, which is good and bad. I mean, it's great that there's more people buying art, and it's great that that supports more artists and some galleries, but I think those days of just winging it like I did and starting because there's a pure, just real love of artists and wanting to support that and be involved, I think unfortunately might be gone.
What does that mean, do you think, for the broader creative arts community here in South Florida, for instance, if that ability to bootstrap a gallery like you were able to do 10 or 11 years ago perhaps is no longer?
You know, I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's sad, and I think, you know, I mean, I don't think it's totally over. I think in places like, you know, here, for example, where you can find places where a storefront would not be that much money to rent, and it might work. Like, I think that there could be, and there are locally, I mean, this is the other thing that I think that's important, is that there are really great artists everywhere, like all over the world. They're not just in New York or LA or London, they're everywhere. And, you know, Guadalajara has an amazing art scene now, and you know, there's just like all kinds of places. And, you know, I work with an amazing artist here, Jose Alvarez, that has a show at the Boca Museum right now. We're opening here in a few weeks. And, you know, but I don't know if an artist like Jose would be able to continue to work on a national or international level if I, you know, if we, he and I weren't able to partner together, and that he had a gallery locally to support him because he lives here. You know, so I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
For those who are outside the art business and outside the gallery business, how would you describe your gallery business model? How does it work?
That's a great question. you know, I think the way it has worked, although I don't know if this is going to continue, something I'm sort of looking at, but you know, I really, for me, it's all about the artists and really supporting them and what they're trying to do and giving them a platform and a voice. And that has really worked. The other thing I also need to do, which is difficult, but to finance that, is to do what's called secondary market dealing, where someone has a Warhol and, or someone I know is looking for one, and they come to me because they know I've done business in that, with that artist, secondary market. And so I do that. I don't love that. You know, that's really just about money, but you have to keep the doors open and keep the lights on. You know, what I love to do is really work with the artists and to help guide them through all of this and to listen to their ideas and what their next, you know, what their next ideas are, how they're gonna, what they're gonna do next, and what's going on in the studio, and that part. I've had to learn a lot of the business.
That learning curve for art gallery owner Sarah Gavlek led her to expand and open a second gallery, this time in Los Angeles. But it was Palm Beach where she started her business career.
Part of the reason I wanted to be in South Florida, in the last 10 years, it's really grown. The interest in art, contemporary art, has really grown. And I think Miami Basel is a big part of that. And, you know, my coming here was part financial, like I couldn't afford to have a gallery in New York, and but also because I felt like I could make more of an impact here, that, you know, there wasn't a gallery in South Florida doing what I was doing. I think it's important that it's not just, you know, New York or LA or even Chicago that you think of when you think of contemporary art, and I'm really glad I've got to be a part of that, and hopefully in some way help maybe grow that, you know, hopefully it'll keep going. And I think it brings a lot, I mean, to the local economy too. I think that week in Miami is a big, you know, for the hotels and everybody. So it's, you know, that's something I think a lot of cities don't realize, or states even, how much revenue cultural institutions bring. I think they're starting to get that. You know, I think that is something important for cities and local governments and state governments to realize, that that is something that they should support. And certainly I think that that's happened here in Florida.
Still to come, more with art gallery owner Sarah Gavlek after being selected to come to do business at Basel. The reality sets in of getting ready.
The second thought after yay and the victory dance was, oh my God, how much is this going to cost?
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. It's the Art of Business at Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Just a year after opening her art gallery in Palm Beach, Sarah Gavlak got her first invitation to come to what was then quickly becoming one of the premier global contemporary art fairs, Art Basel, Miami Beach. Except she wasn't invited to the main floor of the Miami Beach Convention Center for that show.
It was when they had the shipping containers on the beach still, and we got in, and I was just floored. I mean, I was really surprised, and you know, we did an amazing. We transformed the whole shipping container, and it was beautiful. And people still talk about that first project we did. So that was exciting.
The 15th annual fair that wrapped up just yesterday marked Sarah's fourth year that she was invited to the main show, the galleries. Her gallery was one of three South Florida-based art galleries looking for business at Art Basel. Now, later we'll hear from her about how much business she did at Basel. But first, we spoke with her at her Palm Beach studio back in November about what the opportunity was for her and her business.
Was there a moment where you paused and became perhaps a bit anxious about the business to say, this is the big thing. I'm a small, young gallery,
yeah,
and this is the Super Bowl.
Yes. No, it was. It was definitely that. And I think, I don't know how I figured out how to pay for it and everything. And it's very difficult to, you know, in addition to your daily, you know, expenses, monthly expenses, to come up with the financing for these art fairs. It's very expensive. And I knew we had to bring our A game. It was a Super Bowl, like you said, and we did. And I think we have every year. And the first year we got into the, it's very difficult for galleries also to make it, you know, we were in these smaller sort of focus sections, and then to make the jump from those sections to the gallery section, which is the main section, is also very difficult. And, you know, we made it into that. And, you know, then I thought, like, the second thought after yay and the victory dance was, oh my God, how much is this going to cost?
What does the business model for a Basel appearance look like for a gallery of your size? How much does it cost to get there? What do you need to get out of the show for that return on investment for you as a gallery owner and to continue to service your clients in the broader community?
Well, there's, you know, there's many different ways you can do it. But if you're talking about, you know, just the three walls of the booth starting around $60,000, and that's not even extra lighting or one extra wall or shipping or framing or flying people there. And I mean, it is a very expensive prospect. And, you know, I'm there to serve the artists and make sure that they look the best they can look and that the people who are coming there learn about the artists that I'm working with. So it is a big, you know, it's a big expense. And we really start working the minute we find out we're in again, which is not always a guarantee either. That's a whole nother thing. You know, we find out in June and we start planning.
Is your primary objective at an art fair like a Basel, where you're getting international art buyers to come in, as well as other galleries looking around and other collectors, is your primary objective to sell art at Art Basel proper, or to make a client connection that you can then bring to your Palm Beach gallery or bring to your Los Angeles gallery?
Well, it's both. Obviously, we really need to cover our costs, which we've done every year.
That means selling art at the show, yeah, off the wall.
Which is kind of incredible considering, you know, most of the work we sell is under $100,000. You know, 50,000 and under. And so that's volume. We're selling a lot of work. So we really have to hustle. It's, you know, our booth is the same as a booth that has paintings that are 100,000 or 150 or 200. So it's a big difference. And that is something, you know, I know, again, my colleagues, we talk about, you know, how do we cover our costs? You know, we don't have $10 million paintings or, but I also look at it as, you know, it's marketing. It's a marketing budget. You know, it's outreach, it's meeting new people, it's getting new people interested in. We do a lot of follow-up. In fact, we just sold a work last month from somebody who saw it in Miami.
At last year's Basel.
Yeah. And they finally got back to me and said, remember that piece? And I said, well, actually, we sold the one we had, but we have, it was a series of three. And I said, we have this other one. Would you, you know, what do you think of this? And they got it. So it was, you know, I mean, we do follow-up long after the fair's over, and that is something really important. And, you know, we've met wonderful people and great curators and, you know, not just art collectors. So that's, it's also very important for that, for all the museums and institutions who come and bring trustees and bring their curators. It's important for that too.
Walk me through the decision process that you have as a gallery owner and a Basel exhibitor about the artists you're going to bring to the fair at the Miami Beach Convention Center and how you display their works and when throughout the show you display your works. The Wednesday and Thursday tend to be the deep-pocketed, big money VIPs, and then you get more of the general public on a Saturday and Sunday at the show.
Yeah. You know, certainly the first 2 days are the kind of more serious people, and that's not to say that really great people don't come on the weekend, because they're working and they can only come on the weekend. So we gear it towards that. I also am working on having some secondary market, more blue chip works in the booth this year, which is something I've done a little bit of. I've done exhibitions here of sort of pre-pop Warhol works on paper, and I've had that at different times in the booth. So this year I'm working on, and those are works that come from collectors I work with that they would give me to sell.
So why that strategic decision, changing a little bit from the focus exclusively on kind of emerging artists to look at that, as you call, more blue chip, more established names that the Basel audience may recognize a bit more?
Purely financial. I mean, honestly, you know, I mean, they're artists I love. You know, these are artists that I wouldn't just put anything in the booth to make money. And I also wouldn't just show any artist just to make money, which I've had the opportunity to do. But it also has to be something I believe in and that I feel that I would be proud to have. And also fits historically, I think, with my program. And yeah, financial. I mean, it's, you know, in talking, the wonderful thing is that I have incredible support from collectors and curators, colleagues. And, you know, one of the collectors who I work very closely with said, you know, you really need some, you kind of need a big ticket item to help you cover those costs. And I said, oh yeah, right. That's a good idea. And they happened to be wanting to sell a few things. And so that's how that came about. It can become a little problematic, I think, sometimes with the committee. I think that they, I don't know that they...
The Basel committee.
Yeah. But, you know, my focus is mainly the women. I show mostly women artists, and I show a lot of LGBT is my other big focus. And, you know, I've been doing that for years very consistently, and a Keith Haring would certainly fit into that. And, you know, it's, I think it's also, you have to sort of give the younger galleries a little bit of a break and let them, you know, also try and cover their costs. So hopefully it'll be okay. I mean, it's a great picture, so maybe it'll look great in the booth. It'll fit consistently with what I've curated.
As a gallery owner, how do you strike that balance between your creative instinct and the financial necessity to cover the costs of a big show like Basel, but also just to continue operating two galleries on two coasts and the payroll and the expenses that come along with that?
It's a lot, and I'm learning. I'm learning it. I'm sort of, you know, when I opened the gallery in LA, almost, you know, 2.5 years ago, it was right when, right after that, there became a slowdown, and the market slowed a bit. And also, that's when this real culture of collecting really shifts suddenly. And I think now we're all kind of looking back, where it's not in the way when we started the conversation about, you know, a gallerist, you know, someone who just, you know, loves artists, loves art history, wants to work with artists. You know, there used to be many more collectors who supported that idea, who would see an artist that was new or young and would take a chance because they also love it, and they also want that they were supporting that. You know, that has really changed, where people are very focused on, although I think this is going to start to correct a little bit, but there became this phenomenon of buying artists really young, and then there's this buildup of this artist's career in a completely inflated, arbitrary fashion. I mean, there was nothing, like, there were no museum shows or anything to back up an artist selling at a show at the gallery for $12,000 or $20,000, and then it's $150,000 5 months later. I mean, how does that happen? So I think that's starting to correct, but that really, unfortunately, got people thinking, oh, well, this is a place where I can make a fast dollar. And so it really, unfortunately, changed where people were thinking about supporting a gallery program or really believing in an artist and just buying and living it with it and loving it, to this is just something that's financially driven. So those things all happen, that kind of changed at the same time. So I'm learning how to, operate two galleries.
How important has Basel become for your business and for your bottom line?
I think it's very important. You know, I think it's important. I still meet a lot of new people. I think when, if someone doesn't know you or know what your program is, they see that you participate in Miami Basel and they know that that means something. So it's sort of that makes a difference.
Has Basel become a must-be-at art fair, as you've been there pretty consistently over the past decade?
I think it is. I think for us it is. You know, it's I call it a home game. You know, it's a home game for us. You know, we have home field advantage, I think. So, yeah.
Sarah Gavlak said she spent about $80,000 on her Basel booth this year, a figure she said is lower than compared to years past. The artwork itself she brought valued about $800,000. Still to come, another local gallery owner returned to Basel to do some business.
My idea was, for many years, to actually have the gallery in one of the historic buildings in Miami that I grew up seeing as a kid.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Today it's the Art of Business at Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. David Castillo rode the wave of art and business in Wynwood for a decade. That was helped along, certainly, by Art Basel. He had an art gallery in the epicenter of the contemporary art scene here in South Florida until 2 years ago. He has been part of the exit of galleries out of Wynwood. For Castillo, it has meant moving to a historically significant building that reflects a different era in Miami Beach. 420 Lincoln Road. It's a building that was designed by Art Deco master architect Albert Annis.
My idea was, for many years, to actually have the gallery in one of the historic buildings in Miami that I grew up seeing as a kid. So it occurred to me 10 years after being in Wynwood that as things were shifting in Wynwood to kind of start looking at other places. And I wasn't specifically thinking about Miami Beach. I was thinking of neighborhoods in general. And then I reminded myself of this idea of having something that connected the past to the present. And because art is a continuity, there are very important murals by a Russian muralist in the lobby, Leo Burchansky. So I kind of like that idea of tying that to what artists are making today, because at some point he was a contemporary artist making those murals for the building. So that was something that was of interest to me.
This year was his fourth year selling at Basel, but his first time back since 2011. He concentrates on emerging artists and art that focuses on identity. We spoke a few weeks before Basel, on a day his gallery was closed. He brought along his dog, Harry. You can hear his collar ringing in the background.
I guess the idea of identity has always interested me. So obviously, if you're going to have a professional gallery around some idea or concept, I wanted it to be something I felt strongly about. And that's something that always played into my ideas in general about life and society. So how one group may view the other, or how groups interact, or how groups are interpreted when they're not a part of a certain group. So the idea of identity is something obviously very general that has some influence on everyone. And the gallery business I got into rather organically. I started out after studying art history at Yale and the Vatican, actually. I worked in museums for a couple of years, first at the Yale University Art Gallery, and then what was then the Miami Art Museum. So at Yale, it was a curatorial position, and at the former MAM, it was a registrar position. And so through that kind of work, I had always kind of had the idea of having a contemporary art gallery. But immediately after working in museums, I started working in secondary markets. So I started selling expensive modern art, things from history books, American, European, and Latin American paintings primarily. And then 14 years ago, a confluence of things were correct for me to embark on this idea I had always had of representing artists on the primary market.
Tell me about your exit from Wynwood. It has happened at a time when a number of gallerists have left that area as it continues to rise its profile, as it continues to increase its profile on the international stage when it comes to street art. There's fewer and fewer gallerists left there.
Right. Well, that's something that happens the world over as neighborhoods gentrify more or develop in different ways. Obviously, artist studios, galleries are usually placeholders when those neighborhoods are in transition. But it's seldom that those kinds of businesses or artist studios remain in those neighborhoods when they start to become more expensive or more developed. And as has happened with Wynwood, it's usually the case that restaurants or bars are the type of businesses that can kind of propel the neighborhood forward long term because there's a larger audience for that type of business. So I think it's great for Wynwood and it's great for Miami that it's developed in that way. And it obviously comes as no surprise because, as I say, it's happened the world over with art neighborhoods. And Miami has always had a very spread out art scene anyway, from Coral Gables to Bell Harbor, North Miami, the Biscayne Corridor. So the fact that the galleries have once again spread out to different areas is a good thing. It's a little bit like Los Angeles where, you know, they're kind of destinations. So people go to the ones that have a show up at that particular time that they would care to see.
Was it an economic decision that led to you to leave Wynwood?
No, it was a practical decision in that a lot of my clients were no longer so interested in coming to the very busy openings. We used to get about 200 people at any opening in Wynwood, but not a single buyer would come to the actual opening. They would come later. They didn't want to deal with the parking or the crowd, you know. So it was kind of a great celebration for the artist, but didn't really have any impact on the business itself by being in that neighborhood anymore, like it did at the beginning where there was an excitement and it was kind of a thing to do as far as going to see openings on a Saturday and this sort of thing. So as that kind of shifted, it really made no business sense to stay. And since moving here, we get fewer people at an opening. We would get maybe 60, 70 people at an opening, but we always get 4 to 5 buyers at every single opening. So the impact for a gallery that sells at this price point is enormous. So if you're selling photographs that are $35,000 or paintings that are $50,000, well, you can see that that's actually a good return for one single opening. It's also influenced clients outside of Miami, which make up the majority of the clients of the gallery, now all have been to the gallery. So there are many clients that have bought from the gallery from art fairs we've done all over the country and in Europe who had never actually seen a show at the gallery because when they come in December, they come to the main fair and maybe one or two other things, and they're not necessarily here all week. They might be here 2-3 days, and then they leave. So the location has been a night and day impact on that as far as clients can just walk over. We're a block away from the convention center.
The Miami Beach Convention Center, home of Basel.
Correct. And so it just has made that easy for people to come. It's super accessible. So that's impacted the business in a big way when that audience is here in December, as well as year round. It's just people like coming here. It's always, I mean, Lincoln Road is a destination, period, with or without the gallery. And so it's just easy for people to make that commitment. Oh, we're going to see the show. We're going to go to the opening. You go have dinner. You have a coffee, whatever the case may be.
How is business leading up to Basel?
It's been good, actually. This has been a busy couple of years since moving to this space, as far as sales, as far as the number of shows we've been doing, as far as art fairs.
David Castillo makes his living in art now, but at Hialeah High, he says he never took an art class. Still to come, as our conversation continues, after a four-year absence, he headed back to Basel for business.
It's the only art fair that I've ever done in the world where you do sell. You always sell.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy. Today, it is the art of business at Basel. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. Art Week 2016 is history, and so is the 15th year of Art Basel Miami Beach. It wrapped up yesterday. We will talk with two local gallery owners about how their business was at Basel a little bit later in the program. One of those is David Castillo. His gallery used to be in Wynwood up until 2 years ago when he left for Miami Beach. Today, his gallery is just a few blocks from the home of Art Basel, but you won't just happen upon it. It's on the second floor of a building on Lincoln Road. You have to know where you're going if you are to find it. In more than a decade as an art gallery owner here in Miami, he has seen the boom of Wynwood and the boom and bust and then the building up again of the art business. We spoke with him before Basel about the art market and his business.
You know, the very first time we were in Art Basel was in 2008. And as you know, that was not a spectacular year for anyone in the world. But people were still buying. They were just buying less. They were buying more cautiously. But obviously they continued to buy because I'm not in any other kind of business. I'm not generating money from anything other than art sales. So obviously people bought and the business moved on and carried on. Now, almost 14 years later, it's still there selling art. It's the only business that I'm in.
As we're talking here on a Monday, the gallery is officially closed for customers. We're about 3 weeks out from the start of Art Basel. It's a quiet Monday here. Does that belie the work that's already happened or is going on without you?
Yes. You know, it is an expensive endeavor, but like I said before, it's the only art fair that I've ever done in the world, and I'm sure a lot of people can attest to this as well, where you do sell. You always sell. And so if you bring quality works, you know, the very best that you could possibly bring by your artist, it's a high probability that you will do well. And that's obviously why it's so competitive, why all the galleries all over the world apply, and why there are only 269 spots.
Give me a sense of what kind of investment an Art Basel, main Art Basel show inside the Miami Beach Convention Center costs for a gallery like you. The cost for the space, and then your investment in the booth itself.
Right. Well, for us, all told together, as a rough estimate, it's definitely in the range of $100,000 plus between what we produced and the cost of the booth. And it's definitely will be over $100,000 once you tabulate shipping and all the kind of incidental expenses like invitations or things like that. It keeps going up. But the thing with Art Basel is you not only have the booth where you have the possibility to generate sales, it's also like an ad, if you will, which can cost you $5,000 to $10,000. So it's kind of built into the thing. You're also promoting the business, you're promoting those artists, and you have an opportunity to sell because you have a built-in audience that is looking to buy.
That audience represents the demand. What you're going to be putting on the walls and the sculptures and the other works that you'll be displaying is the supply. What kind of thought process do you put into that supply in order to generate the kind of sales you need to generate at the fair, as you mentioned, but also 3, 6, 9 months down the line to make that kind of investment worthwhile for you?
Well, I always think very carefully for any art fair, Basel included, which artists we will show in a particular city. So for Art Basel specifically, obviously, thinking goes into it even before you get in. Once you apply, you've already thought about what you would like to show at the fair. And I try to be somewhat democratic in the sense that I've shown all the artists at some point in art fairs. And then with the bigger art fairs, you also have to think in terms of the business, what are the artists that are most sought after from the ones you show? Because obviously that helps to build the whole thing. So obviously it helps to raise up the more emerging artists by having a gallery that is selling more high profile artists. So it kind of benefits the whole. So for example, in the booth, I'll have artists whose work I've sold to the Guggenheim, to the Museum of Modern Art, to the MCA Chicago, to UBS, the bank that actually sponsors the whole thing. Those have been the clients for the artists I'm bringing. So you are already operating at a certain level where if people like it, it already has the pedigree for someone to buy it at a certain price point.
You've already seen the demand expressed for the work from these artists. So you're confident you'll be able to find buyers for those artists at the fair?
Correct. These are artists that I always sell. So these are artists that always sell, that I've sold, as I said, to major institutions, to banks, to private collectors, and artists by whom I have very little inventory because it does sell. And that's without the powerhouse of Art Basel. So then you compound that to the fact that you have thousands of buyers from all over the world who may not have those artists yet, but the pedigree of those major institutions and those important sales and museum solo shows make it easier for that kind of clientele to go in and buy those artists.
Walk me through your thought process a year ago, 9 months ago, 5 months ago, as you were putting together the program for Basel, hoping you'd get in. You get in, now you have to go forward with it. Mm-hmm. Finding the balance in your thought process between the aesthetics, between the artistic expression, and the economics necessary mm-hmm. for you to remain a business and be able to put forth the kind of capital, the kind of funds that are necessary in order to be inside that convention center in December.
Well, I always curate the booth. So I've never done a booth where we're just taking works of art and putting them on the wall. So there's, for me personally, as an art historian, there's always a great deal of thinking that goes into what the booth will look like. What does this combination of artists represent? And is it the best representation of the gallery in a quick visit type of environment that allows you to understand a little bit of what the gallery is about?
It has to have some identity.
Correct.
To talk about how you curate your own gallery on the off Basel
Correct.
Months.
Correct. And so I think that directly leads to sales. So it impacts the business because people that are buying at a certain level, that are serious about collecting and serious about supporting artists, appreciate that, you know, that it's not just happenstance that you're there. There's some kind of continuity to the thing, and they can see it and appreciate it in the work and also in how you present it in the booth, you know, how you talk about it when the time comes.
As you go about operating your business for the gallery, does Basel wind up in your budget every year? Do you wind up having that six-figure line item in your budget in the hopes that you will be selected by the jury?
Definitely. I mean, the times that we've done it, the money is always there. So there's always some surplus for you to be able to do something special a few times a year where you do art fairs in other cities or a big project. So yes, there's always that in the budget.
What does Basel mean for your business and for your bottom line? Does it mean that you will be profitable at the end of your fiscal year?
Generally speaking, yes. I mean, the years we've done Basel, you definitely always sell and there's definitely profit. So what we have put in to the booth can easily be made back as far as the sales from that booth. And you could certainly, I mean, I know some galleries make enough revenue for the entire year, but you certainly can make enough revenue for at least half a year. So obviously, if you're running a business, a professional gallery like this at a certain level, then that's great because that's profit, because you're also still producing other shows and generating other sales.
Art gallery owner David Castillo was very optimistic about the business he was going to do at his booth at Basel, as was the other local South Florida gallery owner we spoke with, Sarah Gavlak. So still to come, how about it? The business at Basel for both of them.
Things are definitely slower. I mean, a little bit. I think people are maybe still reeling from the election. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think I'm very optimistic.
One work has already sold from the booth and no one's seen it yet. So that's always a good way to start when people are buying a work that they haven't actually seen yet.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. At 11 o'clock Wednesday morning last week, Art Basel Miami Beach opened for the well-heeled and well-connected. International art collectors, buyers from museums around the world, celebrities, and the media are let in to the fair. It's a high target market for the art galleries on the floor of the convention center. Certainly not an unruly crowd by any stretch of the imagination, and it felt a little less crowded and rushed than in previous years. Still, hundreds of people made their way through the booths, some clearly meandering and lingering, others moving with more determination and destination in mind. These are the buyers with the means to fork over 5- and 6-figure sums for the art that's on sale. It's a concentrated market by design. The Art Basel organization that runs the fair schedules 3 invitation-only sessions before opening up to the ticket-buying public. It focuses demand for the supply of art inside. And inside the main gallery section was Sarah Gavlak, who we met earlier at her gallery in Palm Beach.
I'm very excited about it. I love our booth. I think that it's going to be a really strong year.
What's the market been like leading up to this for you, for that anticipation?
Well, we had our traditional, for the last 11 years now, in Palm Beach, we have a big opening on Thanksgiving weekend. We had our opening Saturday with a solo show of Jose Alvarez, who has an amazing exhibition at the Boca Museum right now. And it was basically a sold-out show at the opening. So that was very exciting. Great way to start. And we actually pre-sold the piece of his we were going to bring to the fair. So that's good and bad because I think because his work is in demand, now we're going to show the piece because it's beautiful and we want people to know about his work. So I think it's a very strong start.
I couldn't help but notice in Miami, it's all about real estate and real estate's all about location. Right. The location of your booth in this program for Art Basel, you're right next to a lounge mm-hmm. where there's champagne and refreshments, yes. And you're also close to the restrooms.
Yes.
Was this by design?
No, but that's a great position, isn't it?
Have you had a chance to walk around the show?
I have. It's fantastic.
How do you describe the market this year for you that you're going to be in?
I think things are definitely slower. I mean, a little bit. I think people are maybe still reeling from the election. I mean, this last year was very slow, I think, because everyone was so focused on that. And we'll see. I mean, I think I'm very optimistic. I have some reserves already on work that people are coming to see in the booth. And I always do very well here. This is our really big fair. We always do well. It's sort of kind of a home game since it's up the road from the gallery in Palm Beach. So I'm very excited. I think we're going to do well.
David Castillo had his booth in the Nova section, a smaller area in the corner of the convention center dedicated to younger galleries and younger artists.
David, we're Wednesday morning. The show just opened. You've had a quick chance to take a look around about what the marketplace is offering. What are your expectations now that Basel is here, now that the photographs and the works are hung?
I think my expectations are pretty similar to what they were when we first spoke, and that's that it is already off to a great start. We had a preview of the show in the gallery last night for clients, and several works have sold from that show. One work has already sold from the booth, and no one's seen it yet. So that's always a good a good way to start when people are buying a work that they haven't actually seen yet.
What can you attribute that kind of optimism to?
I don't know if it's a general optimism or something specific to the art market, but there's definitely an optimism. This is a fair where people come to buy and are serious buyers, so they're looking what fits their collections, what to buy. They're not necessarily just looking or interested in seeing art. They're looking specifically to buy.
We went back and visited Basel in the final few hours yesterday afternoon. I wanted to see how business turned out for them. So David, it's Sunday afternoon now. How has the show gone for you?
It's gone very well. We have sold the most expensive pieces already on Wednesday morning, and we've sold several pieces since then. We've already switched out the booth once, and we really only have a couple of pieces left to sell that are edition works.
I like this for me too.
When we spoke a few weeks ago in the gallery, as you were putting the final touches on this booth, you mentioned that some galleries can come out of Basel with 6 months or 12 months of revenue in the 3 or 4 days.
Correct.
Has it been like that for you?
Definitely, there's been revenue for several months. Yes, there has been revenue for several months, and that's why I said we did extremely well. And obviously when you do extremely well, you want to do amazing. So I'm holding out for another piece or two to jump that number even higher. But yes, we definitely made, we generated enough sales for several months of the gallery's operation.
Within a few hours of opening, Castillo said he sold a three-piece furniture piece for $110,000 and a three-dimensional piece for $40,000. Sarah Gavlak also saw a strong start, selling two pieces for $40,000 each. But she was a bit more guarded in her assessment.
How's the show gone for the gallery?
It's gone very well. I'm very pleased. It was a little bit of a quieter year, but it was good for us in that we met lots of new people and gave us a real opportunity to have longer, more in-depth conversations with people. So that was good.
How was it quiet this year? Quiet in terms of sales, crowds?
No. Our sales were good. They were steady. It was a little, just in terms of the crowd, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
And you were looking at your investment. Were you able to have a profitable show?
Yes, we were. And what I know is, from past years, there's always a lot of follow-up in the 2 weeks, you know, before the holidays and the end of the year, after the fair. So I'm expecting a lot of that in the next few weeks.
She's hoping for business beyond Basel. Wanda Miles is our technical director. We had booking assistance from Bridget O'Brien and Rebecca Intralgo. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.